الحمد لله الحمد لله على ذات عظيم الصفات سمي السمات كبير الشأن جليل القدير رفيع الذكر مطاع الأمر جلي البرهان فخيم الاسم غزيل علم وسيل حلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل عطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس واحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو I wanted to start off by just sharing a few thoughts. Normally, my preference is that the khutbah be structured in a way where there is a primary focus upon some Quranic guidance or some instance from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we will, inshallah, come back to that particular point. I also personally am not very inclined towards politicizing the khutbah and maintaining the integrity of the Friday address as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us, فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Rush to the remembrance of Allah. And so that needs to always be the primary purpose and focus of our khutbah. However, that being said, at the same time, we see from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, that when there are situations and circumstances that are being dealt with, that are unfolding, it is very important that there be some discourse, some discussion, some guidance, and some perspective being provided in the community, to the community, about exactly how to understand and interpret what is going on at that particular time. Everyone is very keenly aware of today's events. And even though it seems like a couple of months ago we had this conversation, that exactly what do we do in the aftermath of the political climate and the political scene as it's unfolding. But it seems like if there was any doubt that remained, or there was any denial that still was there, it's being completely put to rest today as we see everything unfolding. And I wanted to be able to take this opportunity for myself and for everyone in the community, for us to be able to exactly understand, not necessarily from a purely political standpoint, even though those conversations are important, but I'm not the person to have those conversations. I'm not the specialist in that arena. There might be a lot of conversation about policy and media and what impact this is going to have. And again, I'll leave that to the punditry that specializes or at least claims to in that regard. I wanted to talk about this today and I wanted to address it today from a spiritual perspective and from an Islamic perspective, from a religious perspective. How do we exactly not just understand? By now, if we haven't understood what's going on, then we are no doubt living in denial. But the bigger question is that how do we react and how do we respond to the climate that is being created and to the political scene that is unfolding right now in our country? And so there were a couple of things that I wanted to mention here and a couple of things I wanted to lay out. And I believe I mentioned this previously in the aftermath of the election, but if somebody does recall that conversation, then this will be a bit of a reiteration. However, I'd like to build on that theme further. There are two things that rest in front of us. If you survey the Quran, if you survey the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you study it throughout from cover to cover, there are two particular themes that resonate throughout the Quran. When it addresses us, when it talks to us. One is of faith, iman, belief. And the second one is of amal, is one of action. And the significance of our creed, our theology, our philosophy as Muslims, is that it is a balanced theology, it is a balanced philosophy between belief, between faith, between having convictions, believing in something, and then also acting upon that belief. And that those two themes run all throughout. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one of the surahs that has been described by many of the scholars of our ummah as a summary of the entire Islamic philosophy, Suratul Asr, where it creates a sense of urgency, wal asr, it tells you that time is running out. Innal insana lafi khusrin. And why is it so worrisome? Why is it so concerning that time is running out? Because you're losing. We're losing. Innal insana lafi khusrin. We are losing. And of course, this surah is talking about something much bigger than just simply an election. It's talking about we're losing in the hereafter. Time is running out. Time is fleeting, wasting away. And we keep on suffering loss after loss. We're only going further and further into the red. And now it talks about the fact that when time begins to run out, and this is the perspective, this is very important. The correct response is not to just give in, resign, succumb to your fate. It is not to just go ahead and give in to the circumstances. Oh well, time is already running out. I'm already so far behind. I'm already suffering and falling behind in so many different areas. What's the point? Why even bother? Why put up a fight? Let me just go ahead and resign myself to the way things are going. Just let the current carry me on. But that's not the perspective at all. Allah says, "Illa." And illa in the Arabic language is used to make an exception. It's lil istithna. It is to make an exception. It excludes someone. It reaches down into that entire pool of all of humanity and it scoops up a bucket full of people and it says these people are excluded from the rest. Who will not lose out. And who will not give in to defeat. And who will not resign themselves. And who are those people? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who have their convictions, they have their beliefs, they know who they are, they believe what they do, and they never doubted that for a second. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They have convictions, they have belief. They are people of faith. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they strive, they work hard, they struggle, and they do good. They never stop doing good. No good deed is small enough. No good deed is too small. No good deed is too small. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, never ever underestimate a good deed. Never underestimate a good deed. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that even إِمَاتَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. That even removing some trash or something harmful from the path, picking up and removing a piece of wood on the sidewalk or a rock that's in the middle of the road, just kicking it aside, moving it aside, is a part of faith and belief. It is action. Action that comes from a place of good to bring about some good. That is never insignificant. Remember the time when Musa alayhi salam is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and touch the ocean with his staff. What significance, what impact would it have to strike the ocean with a stick? But that's what Allah tells him and it parts the seas. Remember the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Maryam salamun alayha, the mother of Isa, to go and try to shake a tree while she's expecting, giving birth to a child. How is a pregnant woman who's in the pains of labor going to shake a tree hard enough to make fruit fall from it? It seems like an insignificant action that's not going to have much impact. But Allah provides His sustenance. The Prophet ﷺ remembered the time our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're digging the trench. All the armies, all the people have allied and united together and gathered around the city of Medina to burn Medina to the ground. And they dug a trench around the city of Medina as a last, literally a last ditch effort to try to survive and not perish. And they've been digging and digging and digging for weeks with no end in sight. The army is armed to the teeth, thirsty for blood, waiting for them to give in. And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ hasn't eaten for days. There are narrations that mention that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba had stones tied to their stomachs due to the hunger they were feeling. And Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion, he goes home and asks his wife, "Do we have any food? The Prophet ﷺ hasn't eaten for days." She says, "Yes, we have a little bit of food." She prepares it, says, "Maybe it's enough for 3-4 people. Go invite the Prophet ﷺ and tell him to bring a couple of people." And the Prophet ﷺ, when Jabir comes and invites him, whispers the invitation into his ear. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Qumu ila Ja'far." He says, "Everybody, come on, let's go. Dinner at Ja'far's house." And some of the narrations mention that 800 Sahaba went to eat. There was a line outside the house. Only 10, 15 people at a time would even fit within the home. So 10 people would come in, they would eat, they would go, and 10 more would come. And in this way, 800 people ate out of a small pot of food that was enough for 4 people. Because it was a good action that was done from a place of good to bring about some good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave life to that action. And something miraculous happened. And the examples of this go on and on and on and on. That is who we are, and that's what we're about. Faith, belief, our convictions, and principled good action. And that doesn't stop today. That didn't stop 2 months ago, that won't stop today. That didn't stop when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum buried 70 of their own people at Uhud, they didn't stop. It didn't stop at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where they were rebuffed by the Meccans and they had to end up opting into an agreement that did not feel fair. It didn't stop then either. And we will never stop believing, and we will never stop doing what needs to be done, the good that needs to be realized in this world, no matter what happens. That's something we have to remember. That's something we have to have convictions for. It's something we have to believe. And I come back to that point. When it comes to doing good, we have to stop being influenced by this worldly, dunyawi paradigm, this dunyawi mindset. We have to get away from this worldly, materialistic mindset that the only way to do something good is if you have a national campaign, is if you have tens of millions of dollars for a PR or marketing campaign, is if you have someone in office at a national level or even a state level. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We have an entire tradition, an entire history, and even in this country there is a history and there is a tradition of people starting that good, making that change from wherever they could. Whether it was a small town or it was on one singular bus or no matter what it was. And they built on that. But everything has a beginning. Everything begins as a seed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about all the good that comes into this world, starting with just putting a seed in the ground. Be a farmer. Have that farmer's mentality. The farmer doesn't look at a handful of seeds and look at it and be like, "What is this? How am I going to feed my family with this?" A farmer doesn't do that. He looks in a handful, a palmful of seeds, and he sees enough food to feed a village. That's the perspective we have to have. That's the mindset we have to get back to. And one of the things that I always remind myself, and I'd like to emphasize here as well, is that we are people of iman, we are people of faith, we are people of dua, we are people of spirituality. Never forget, this type of rhetoric is very, very detrimental and dangerous. And I spoke about this as well earlier. That we cannot undermine, when somebody talks about dua, we cannot undermine the power of dua. We will work, but never ever talk about just making dua. Oh well, I guess there's nothing to do, so now make dua. Absolutely not. The dua comes before the action. The dua comes before the action. We need to invest into our relationship with Allah. We need to make sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on our side. We get the mercy and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our side. Then it goes back to that same thing I talked about earlier. Very, very seemingly small actions will have huge impact. Will have a huge, tremendous impact. And I wanted to share one particular moment from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where that dua was so powerful. And in fact, at that moment, the Prophet ﷺ didn't have any other recourse. He didn't have an army behind him. He didn't have any allies by his side. But he made this powerful dua. And it was the beginning of this remarkable change. It ushered in the next era of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. That came with victory after victory. People flowing into Islam, one after another. The Prophet ﷺ, and I'll abbreviate the story. The Prophet ﷺ, towards the end of the period in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ made a very strategic decision to travel to and visit the city of Ta'if. Ta'if, which was the second biggest city in Arabia at that time after Mecca, and home to the second largest tribe after Quraysh, Banu Thaqif. The Prophet ﷺ traveled there to see if he could garner some support for the message that he was calling to in Mecca for over a decade. And we know how the story unfolds. The Prophet ﷺ goes there, speaks to the leaders. They all refuse to listen and accept the message. And ultimately, when the Prophet ﷺ is leaving Ta'if, some of those same leaders, what they do is that they sick after the Prophet ﷺ, some of the troublemakers and the criminals of the city of Ta'if, they basically send them after the Prophet ﷺ. Go and harass him, abuse him, attack him. And the books of history, the books of Sirah tell us that as the Prophet ﷺ is leaving the city of Ta'if, they gather up together there to throw rocks at the Prophet ﷺ. And they throw rocks at the Prophet ﷺ. They say every single time he takes a step, somebody should throw rocks at him. And they throw rocks at him all the way till he reaches the point of Qarnul Manazil. Which that distance is about 3 miles. For 3 miles straight, they throw rocks at the Prophet ﷺ while he's walking. By the time he reaches the point of Qalun Manazil, they've been aiming at his feet as to not kill him but injure him. His feet are bleeding. He's badly bruised and wounded. He sits down there. Feet are bleeding. Hurting, overwhelmed, really upset that people would behave this way. And the Prophet ﷺ, at that time, what he does to remind us. You know, one of our teachers was explaining to us that the Prophet ﷺ is Habibu Rabbil Alameen. He's a beloved of God. Why would Allah tolerate His beloved to be treated this way? Was because the Prophet ﷺ was making the sacrifice of going through such an extreme situation that many of us can't even imagine, to teach us how to handle those situations. And what does he do? He makes dua at that time. A dua that is very lovingly and beautifully been remembered as the dua of the oppressed. The dua of the weak. Of those who are struggling. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned some narrations. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati. O Allah, I complain to you of my weakness. Wa qillati hilati. I complain to you of my lack of resources. وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. Oh Allah, I complain to you of me not commanding enough respect in the eyes of these people. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, O most merciful of all of those capable of showing any mercy. Anta Rabbul Mustada'afin, you are the Lord and the Master, the caretaker of the weak, the downtrodden, the abused, the oppressed. Wa anta Rabbi, and you are my Lord and my Master, you are my caretaker. Ila man takiluni, who will you hand me over to? إِلَى بَعِيدٍ يَتَجَهَمُنِي, to some merciless creature who would abuse me, violate me? أَمْ إِلَى عَدُوٍ مَلَكْتَهُ أَمْرِي, or to an enemy and let him have his way with me? إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي, even if you hand me over to the enemy, O Allah, even if you allow this merciless creature to abuse me, as long as you are not upset with me, I don't care about what these people do. As long as you are not upset with me, I don't lose my faith. I never compromise my principles. I don't care what these people would do. غَيْرَ أَنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ هِيَ أَوْسَعُ لِي, however, I ask for your protection and your safety. أَعُوذُ بِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الَّذِي أَشْرَقَتْ لَهُ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَصَلَحَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And oh Allah, I ask you by the light of your face that dispels the darkness and that can solve all the problems in this life and the next. أَنْ يَحُلَّ عَلَيَّ غَضَبُكَ, never ever be angry with me, O Allah. أَوْ أَنْ يَنْزِلَ بِيَسَخَتُكَ, never send down your wrath upon me. لَكَ الْعُتْبَى حَتَّى تَرْضَى, I will serve you until you are pleased. I will serve you until you are pleased. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكَ. But here's the thing, the ability to serve you only comes from you. Give me the strength, give me the ability, give me the clarity that is needed to serve you. And I will serve you till my last breath, till you are pleased with me. This was the perspective of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ made dua at that time when presented with the opportunity to destroy these people, pray against and destroy them. He said, rather, I hope that they would believe and that their offspring will believe. And undoubtedly, a decade later, in the ninth year of Hijrah, a little over a decade later, the people of Ta'if would embrace and accept Islam. That would come to fruition. This is the hope and the perspective we have to have. We need to turn to Allah at this moment. We need to renew and recommit ourselves to our belief, our faith, our principles, our morals, our ethics. And lastly and finally, now's the time to act. Get out there and do good. A critique of myself and of my own community is that we have for far too long been too comfortable and too invested in carving out our own little dream, our own little Jannah in this world. It's time that we get out there and we start working. And we remember the example of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we never are defeated by the circumstances that go on around us. In fact, those circumstances come to remind us of who we are and what we need to be doing. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.